Good morning, everyone. So good to see you all here and via Zoom. And as usual, Helen comes to join our worship, even though she's physically away. She's always there. So glad to see her, and so glad to see the rest of you. As you all agree, whenever I come to this beautiful sanctuary, I feel so cozy, so homey in here. You know, how wonderful it is. It's beautiful. And we have done a lot of works in here, have made it even better. And it is so wonderful that we get to enjoy this beautiful sanctuary. And as the same token, I pray that the wonderful blessings of God would come and fall upon you, each of you this morning as we worship together. A persistent party member once appeared before President Lincoln and demanded appointment to a judgeship as a reward for effective campaigning he's done in Illinois. The president, aware of man's lack of judicial attributes, told him it was impossible. There simply are no vacancies at the present time. Mr. Lincoln made an excuse. The discontented man left. Early the next morning, he was walking along the Potomac when he saw a drowned man pulled from the river and immediately recognized him as a federal judge. He could not let his luck slip away. Without a moment of hesitation, he presented himself to Mr. Lincoln while the president was still eating breakfast, told him what he had just seen, and demanded an immediate appointment to the vacancy. Lincoln shook his head. "I'm sorry, sir, you came too late," said the president. "I have already appointed a lawyer who saw him fall in." A reward is something we all expect for our sacrifices and hard work. I know each of you worshiping this morning agrees that you deserve a good retirement after decades of labor. Rewards motivate people of all ages. Some of you who used to be teachers know the values of reward in classrooms. Incentives such as recognition and awards motivate kids to behave and study. And I also have been praying that the good Lord would prepare a good retirement for Becky and I after decades of ministry. Speaking of reward in ministry, the Apostle Paul deserved the highest recognition because of all his tireless work, sacrifices, and suffering for the gospel. I do not know of anyone in the entire church history who has contributed to the advancement of the gospel and Christ's churches as much as Paul did. Did Paul receive rewards for all his services? Not quite so. Let's look at Paul's contributions and the reward he deserved. As well noted in the Great Commission, Jesus wanted the gospel to be preached to the entire world. "Go and make disciples of all nations." There were to be no racial or national barriers to the gospel. Jesus repeated the same message on the day of his ascension and said, "You will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." By the way, the day of Ascension was this past Thursday, May 18th. And we don't normally celebrate it, but many churches do. What happened on the day of Pentecost, we confirm Jesus' Great Commission. People from 15 international regions witnessed the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the believers who were speaking in their corresponding native tongues, miraculously by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit tore down language barriers for the gospel on the church's birthday. The repeated words of Jesus and the confirmation of the Holy Spirit unveil how serious the global mission was. But the disciples did not realize the significance of the message and insisted on reaching out to Jews only and keeping the tradition of Jews. It was Paul who broke the barrier, pioneered the Gentile missions, and established churches in foreign soils. Paul traveled extensively and covered the vast areas of Turkey, Syria, Greece, and Italy. Some say that Paul went as far as to Spain. Paul paid a very dear price for the mission of the Gentiles. His own race objected to Paul's effort. The gospel was a new way for the Gentiles, so they resisted it by persecuting Paul. All throughout his ministry, his life was hanging by a thread. In chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, one chapter before today's text, Paul described his hardships. He said, 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rod. Once I was pelted with stone. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent the night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger, thirst, and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. I mean, who could go into ministry if the ministry setting would be like what Paul went through? Probably very few. Paul's educational level was the highest among the leaders of the early church, most of whom were uneducated fishermen. Paul demonstrated signs, wonders, and miracles, which are the marks of true apostles. Paul, however, was not one of the 12 disciples whom he called the super apostles. Paul acknowledged that he did not lack in qualities to compare himself with those big shot figures. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul said, "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again." These words of Paul about himself were a true statement of who he was and what he did. The church history has never seen any preacher, a theologian, or crusader greater than the Paul. The only flaw that Paul had was that he was a persecutor of the church for a while. But all his sacrifices and advancement for the gospel could conceal the flaw. Should this great servant of God have deserved some award and reward Of course he did. In fact, giving rewards is how God usually operates. The Bible gives countless examples of how God rewards those who walk with God. David wrote about it in Psalm 16. Let me read it from the Message translation. My choice is you, God, first and only, and now I find I am your choice. You set me up with a house and yard, and then you made me your heir. Day and night, I'll stick with God. I've got a good thing going, and I'm not letting go. I'm happy from the inside out and from the outside in. I am firmly formed. David experienced God's reward in such a way, and we too expect a good life from serving the Lord. And God should have done the same for Paul. But this honorable church leader had a thorn in his body. Paul suffered from it so severely that he called it a messenger of Satan. The Bible translates it as Satan's angel did his best to get me down. What he in fact did was push me to my knees. The pain from the thorn was so unbearable that Paul pleaded with God to remove it, not once, but three times. Did God listen to him? He did not. It is hard to understand why God did not reward such a man with complete dedication to ministry and ease his pain. Paul was the man of God par excellence. No believers, no disciples in the past and today can be compared with Paul's greatness. Paul could have served God more and better if God had removed his thorn. But God's answer to Paul was, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." How about us? How about you and I? Do we happen to have a thorn or thorns in our life? After all our hard work to make our life better, something or someone humiliates us and depresses us. We want to swallow the thorn, but cannot. I mean, can you really swallow the thorn? No one can. We may have prayed as hard as Paul did, and God seems to be silent about our pain. So how should we understand the thorn in life? Our thorn is not a shame or a punishment from God, but is a means of God's grace. The good Lord, he is good, but the good Lord allows it in our life so that we may rely more on God instead of relying on our power and resources. God intends our weaknesses to be a channel through which we receive God's grace and power. I mean, it may sound illogical, but it really happens in our life and in even secular life setting as well. And let me give you an example of that. In the 1996 Masters Golf Tournament, Greg Norman, the White Shark, had one of the most devastating experiences an athlete of any sort can suffer. After three rounds, he had a virtually insurmountable 6-stroke lead. 18 more holes of even average golf would assure him of his master's victory and possession of the coveted green jacket. But the bottom fell out for Greg Norman. On the fourth and final day of tournament, he shot a 78. If you are familiar with, you know, the golf score. And Nick Faldo shot 67 to come from 6 shots back and win by 5 strokes. In the New York Times, Larry Dorman writes, after the debacle, the golf star says he's experienced the most touching few days of his life. Really? The most touching few days of his life. People from all over the world contacted him with words of encouragement. The mail ran 4 times the volumes of what Norman received when he won the British Open in 1993. It's changed my total outlook on life and on people, Norman says of that year's defeat. There was no need for me to be cynical anymore. My wife said to me, you know, maybe this is better than winning the green jacket. Maybe now you understand the importance of it all. I never thought I could reach out and touch people like that. And the extraordinary thing is that I did it by losing. When we are weak, some of the most beautiful things in life can happen to us. And I think Ron and Lauren's testimony this morning just fit right into that. I mean, you know, you want to go, you have an important appointment, and there's a huge traffic, right? But God used that traffic jam to take you to the place where was the trained paramedic who knew how to treat you right on the spot. So what could be our healthy attitude toward a thorn in life? Quit focusing on handicaps, but regard it as a gift from God. God loves us and can remove thorns, many thorns, to ease our pain. But some thorns stay because they are instrument of God's grace. God uses our weaknesses to bring closer to Him, empower us, and grace us. Amen.